But you're going to have to do something to get Batman out of this late 40s stage, because granted, this shit isn't realistic anyway. No one's going to believe a 50-year-old Batman's out here just fucking dudes up on the regular. Like, like he going to be taking Geritol before he takes out people.
Don't call it a podcast. I've been here for years. TheKidsWearCrowns.com. Wonder Woman fly, I'm about to tell you why. Princess Diana, but this lady don't die. My rhymes are signed, sealed, and delivered on time. You a bald has-been, I'm in my Amazon Prime. I tell you what I say, you bet your star from Ray. The written in the shades and the King Cobra head sway. Gods made me out of clay, then they broke the mold. I'm like Gina Davis in the Justice League of my own. I just called to say that you need to ditch the hair beads. Looking like the Predator after some chemotherapy. But don't be scared, I let bats down easy. So you don't gotta worry about a thing, little Stevie.
Running off with a guy. Okay, now let me tell the truth, cause I know you got the lasso. You got that whack flow, suffering sappho. I'm the ceremony master blaster with the bars, and I got more Grammys than your panties got stars.
Well, I'm a woman who wonders what you're thinking. Some of your records make me wish you started drinking. Even if I stick to the best selections, still YouTube videos raise some vision questions.
Your ignorant questions can never cause as much pain as never knowing how stupid you look in your airplane. You're a misguided C-minus on the Bechdel test joke, and my worst song is better than your best TV show.
Look, I don't wanna judge a talking book by its cover, but as a vegan buffet, you're a full-time lover and a part-time father from what I've discovered. 9 different kids with 5 different mothers.
You couldn't walk in my shoes, so stick to your red boots. With blood so thin, even I can see through. Yeah, it's not a superstition, I believe you got this. Not even your tiara's coming back from this. Yeah.
All right, thanks for joining us again at Kids Wear Crowns. We're here to talk about Wonder Woman, and here today we have Courtney.
Hey.
And we have AJ.
What's up?
All right, since we're talking about Wonder Woman, I think it would be like very inappropriate if we didn't allow the woman to go first and just tell us what you thought about the movie, seeing this as a woman, like the first female superhero on the big screen. Just tell us what you, you know, think about that.
Well, first, I was very relieved when I first saw the reviews coming out, because I was really excited about Wonder Woman getting her own movie, but I also knew the history of the DCEU film, and I didn't want the, like, the first, well, it's not the first, but like more DC female superhero to come out, because, you know, the past ones we've had have been trash, like Catwoman. And such, but
oh god,
yeah. I don't know if I can even call that a film, but to have one that's actually good and it has effort put into it, I'm still kind of salty about the amount of promo they put into it. Because it was really hard finding any kind of Wonder Woman gear months up until when with the Batman versus Superman, you saw it everywhere. So I'm still a little salty about that, but I'm really excited about how well it's done, and Patty Jenkins did an incredible job.
I want to segue and read off Patty Jenkins' resume, because there was a lot of talk about her being, you know, an improvement director, but that's like BS to me. Funny story, she was actually the first director on board for Thor: The Dark World. But because of Marvel's, you know, stronghold on the project, she there were some creative differences, but you could still kind of see her like fingerprint on the film a little bit with what they did with that movie. And also, I was a really big fan of the TV show The Killing. Is on Netflix now. The first two seasons are amazing. If you haven't checked it out, check that out. She directed the pilot, which made me nominated, and of course, The Monster, which, you know, won an Oscar. So this movie shows the what she pulled out of Gal Gadot was amazing. Like, it's just a really good one. And also, with Gal Gadot, I think what helped her
Wait, is that how you say her name?
Gal Gadot.
I thought it was Gal Gadot.
Yeah, I thought it was Gal Gadot.
It's a soft T.
I've heard almost everyone say it.
It's a soft T. I looked this up before we started to make sure I wasn't screwing her name up.
I'm still saying Gal Gadot.
I was saying soft T.
Yeah, she was like soft T, but yeah, I didn't know this about her. She served 2 years in Israel's army.
And yep, in the special. Which is why when people said that she wasn't a great fit, that was hilarious to me. Because it's like, if you don't know, the Israeli Special Forces is like one of the top special forces in the world. Like they are.
I think she's a combat instructor.
That's what I'm saying.
She's a marksman. She's a weapons expert.
So she could probably kick the asses of most dudes that were complaining about her playing the film. With a multitude of weapons, so I don't understand.
17 pounds of muscle too. Like I was reading an article, she built 17 pounds of muscle just for this film.
Wow. And she was 5 months pregnant during parts of the film. So I don't want to hear how she wasn't a good fit because her resume speaks for itself. Like she has absolutely every right to have played this film, and obviously she killed it.
Like let's run down this resume. Okay, we already mentioned the army. She won Miss Israel. She attended law school. Like if that's not Wonder Woman, who is Wonder Woman? Like she covers, and not to mention she's beautiful as hell. She's very easy. But anyway, we're not talking about that. But fun story, AJ. You mentioned her pregnancy. I want to kind of go down like the way things kind of happened with her winning this role, because she was first brought in to be one of the villains on Man of Steel, and I don't think a lot of people know that. But she was pregnant at the time, and she turned down the role. And then she was way before that, she was almost cast as the Bond girl in Quantum of Solace, and she lost out to Olga Kurylenko. I'm reading her name, Olga Kurylenko. And it turns out this same Olga, she auditioned for Wonder Woman, but she lost out to Gal Gadot. So it's kind of funny how that all happened and fell into place. And with the just reading off the resumes of Patty and Gal Gadot, I think we talk about how this movie should have happened a long time ago, but with the way things align, it almost seems like destiny. Like this movie was supposed to happen at this time. Like I think this movie would have happened in like 2005. We wouldn't have got this movie. It would have been
trash, probably.
Yeah, it would have been terrible. So things aligned perfectly, and we got this movie right when we did.
I agree too,
and I really think it's good. It has hopefully turned the tide for DC films. Hopefully, I'm actually excited about the Justice League now.
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm excited. Even just to see Wonder Woman in the film. I'm excited.
I'm kind of with Court on that. I think that the momentum here is good. I don't know what it would take for them to do this, but with the things happening with the tragedy that befell Zack Snyder and his family, with Joss Whedon having to step in, the fact that they are scheduled for more reshoots this summer due to Amy Adams and Jason Momoa, and do more reshoots, and Henry Cavill as well. I would not be surprised to see them, because November is not really the greatest movie time anyway. I would not be surprised if they pushed it to March to give them more time, because there's a ton of momentum for this film right now. And I don't know if you really want to jack up the goodwill that you've given yourself by putting out a rushed Justice League film after you've put out your best film since The Dark Knight.
Yeah, and I'll put this in my notes. Yeah, I made notes, by the way. I said that this movie took all the best parts of Batman versus Superman and kind of like filtered out the bad parts. And what I mean by that is DC, we've been wondering what DC's tone would be. And I think this movie is a continuation of like DC's tone and like visual, I don't want to call it like their visual grammar almost, like how they want to shoot a movie, how they want the movie to look. I think this is a continuation of Batman versus Superman, but it filters out that that gritty, like dark look that, you know, really, it was really hard to watch. Like those fight scenes in Batman vs Superman. But
now here, by the way, with Themyscira. Oh, yeah, I was gonna say when we saw Themyscira, that was just like a complete 180 from where DC had been with him, because just how bright and beautiful and gorgeous the Themyscira was itself.
Right.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it felt like something you wanted to watch. Like it felt like you were really like invested in the story when you saw like Themyscira and the way it looked. Because I mean, it looked beautiful. That's something we haven't seen before, and I think the point I'm making is I think DC now, they kind of have a blueprint where they could give their movies a little bit of room and let them like they could bring in like a trusted director like a Joss Whedon or a Patty Jenkins and say, okay, we trust you, you're proven, we're going to give you a little room to do what you want, you know, you could, you know, we're not going to hold you down, you could make the movie you want to make.
Yeah,
but the question is, will they keep doing that? Granted, I think, and this is why, you know, Whedon is kind of the perfect guy for this, is because he's used to working. Because, I mean, even though I'm an MCU guy, Marvel is very much their way. That's why you had Edgar Wright, you had Patty Jenkins, you've had so many directors.
Ava DuVernay.
Yeah. So many of these directors have bounced from there because Kevin Feige is pretty much looking over your shoulder every step of the way.
Right.
Which, yeah, it's why Marvel has worked so far, but it's also why certain things, like I kind of get a little irritated with how tight the connective tissue is. Like every sequel feels like it's just a filler. Like the first movie we get from people is great. The sequels in the MCU feel like it's just a filler. It's like when Gohan was fighting the dinosaur on Dragon Ball Z before the fans got there. It's like, yeah, it's cool, but we didn't really need that shit. Like, just get to Vegeta and Nappa land. So I think Whedon's kind of the guy because he was in there and he knows the inner workings of there. And he can probably give them a little insight into, hey, we do need a hand, but it doesn't need to be on my shoulder. It kind of just needs to be, okay, let's go here next. Okay, let's go here next. This is the general direction we want to end up. I'll pop in periodically to make sure we're not straying too far off that course. But other than that, you do your thing.
Yeah, and I think with some of the names that they've been flown around, I think they can really do that. Like I mentioned, Matthew Vaughn, if he takes on Man of Steel 2, then DC really has something going. If you don't know who Matthew Vaughn is, by the way, he's doing the Kingsman movies. Let's see, he did X-Men First Class. He did Layer Cake, which is one of my favorite British gangster movies ever. Like, if you haven't seen Layer Cake, please go see it. So yeah, if they're bringing in names like this, and they have a commitment to bringing in like A-list stars, so they kind of need established directors to, you know, manage personalities as well. So if they're bringing in names like this, and they're allowing those guys to, you know, do what they do well, then they can really do something. And
well, last I heard, Vaughn was more attached to the Flash. That's the latest news I heard. Is he's kind of the front runner for taking on the Flash. Which, for those of you that don't know, Matthew Vaughn is the reason. Well, he fixed the X-Men continuity before Bryan Singer completely fucked it up again. Mm-hmm. So if Matthew Vaughn is attached to the Flash, we're probably getting Flashpoint.
I hope so.
They're probably going to go. And I honestly don't want to see Flashpoint. I think so. Long before Whedon was announced as the replacement for Zack Snyder to take over the Justice League, I had an idea on how the DC could fix its continuity issues without resorting to a retcon in the middle, or retroactive continuity for you non-comic readers, a retcon in the middle of its cinematic universe. And that way was because Joss Whedon had been announced as a Batgirl director, which Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, great characters, but Joss Whedon is a little too big of a name to direct that. So I thought with you putting him there, you announcing a Nightwing movie, which Nightwing has never even been on screen in a big screen movie before. The closest thing we got to him was a Chris O'Donnell mention in Batman Forever. You're not doing those two movies unless you're setting it up because you introduced Bruce Wayne basically at the tail end of his career. So you're not going to get a ton of Batman, Superman great stories. You're killing a lot of Batman's best storylines with that. So my thought was, rather than doing Flashpoint, you introduce Nightwing and you introduce Damian Wayne, because Bruce Wayne would have been old enough to have had a 10, 12 year old son at this point. Bruce dies. You can't see my fingers. You can't see my fingers, so I'm holding up quotation marks. He dies. And just like in the comics, you do the Death of Batman storyline, where Nightwing is forced to come in and reluctantly take up the Batman mantle while having Batman's own direct son as his Robin. And rather than Bruce dying in the comic books, he was lost in time. And he comes back. Except for when he comes back, you can have him de-aged to where he's not 50 years old anymore, and he's closer to Superman's age, and you have a younger Batman along with his entire Bat family established, because DC has essentially, well, now DC has four big properties. You've got Batman and his related characters, you've got Superman, you've got Wonder Woman, and you've got the Justice League. So if you let Joss Whedon handle the Bat family, which if you watch any of DC's cartoon movies, most of them are about the Bat family in some way, shape, or form. That's a huge property. Of course, Joss Whedon's now with the Justice League, but that doesn't mean he can't still kind of oversee the Bat family. You let Matthew Vaughn kind of handle Superman if he goes the Man of Steel route, or just kind of Flash and ancillary characters. And you let Wonder Woman keep going the direction it's going. You could very easily do this without having to resort to Flashpoint, because to me, I think you kind of set, because if you do Flashpoint, you almost got to erase this Wonder Woman.
I think they're doing Crisis, the Crisis storyline.
I can see that.
Because when Superman, air quotes again, died, they mentioned this new Superman would be like a new, like a Earth, not Earth 52 Superman, because he's not going to be a black guy. But anyway, this Superman is going to be not Clark Kent, basically. I don't know how they're going to do it, but Superman isn't dead. He's chilling somewhere.
I mean, I could kind of see them, because one of the big issues with doing characters like Superman and Thor is them having to reconcile this false humanity. So if you make it to where he doesn't have to be Clark Kent, you're kind of freeing him from that to just be Superman all the time. So I can kind of understand that one. My big thing is, you have to do something to de-age Batman. That's going to be your big... Ben Affleck is probably not going past one or two movies with this. So do you bring in Dick Grayson and radically change his character to make him Batman? I don't know that that really works that well, because the thing that makes Dick Grayson a great Batman is that he doesn't want to be Batman. He's reluctant to do it. He only does it because he knows that Gotham City needs a Batman. Damian's too young. Jason's too hot-headed. Tim would probably be the best person to do it, but we don't even know if Tim Drake exists out there. So your best bet on this one would probably be to do something to where Batman is somehow de-aged without you rebooting the entire timeline, especially if Justice League goes off without a hitch and now you've got Wonder Woman. Now you've got some momentum under your belt. So your biggest cog in the wheel is Batman. And I don't know that Affleck is too happy with how things are going right now. Granted, we might be able to settle him down to maybe possibly do one or two films, but even then, you still got that big void going forward from there. So I think they made a big mistake. As much as I love Batfleck, they made a big mistake with Batman's age in this one. I think Ben Affleck could have played a slightly younger Batman and done this for a little while. But you're gonna have to do something to get Batman out of this late 40 stage, because granted, this shit isn't realistic anyway. No one's gonna believe a 50-year-old Batman's out here just fucking dudes up on the regular. Like, like he gonna be taking Geritol before he takes out people.
Let's get age right now. Gal Gadot is 31, 32. Henry Cavill is just turned 34. Jason Momoa, he's like 37, but I mean, he's Hawaiian, so they don't age. And Ezra Miller, he's like 28, 30. You know, he probably just turned 30, I think. And then you have Affleck. No, shit, Ezra Miller is 24. And
Ray Fisher's younger than 32. He's younger than 30 as well. So I mean, yeah,
Affleck is the Affleck at 44 years old, about to turn 45. That makes no sense.
Yeah, and I get why they did it, but when you start looking 10 years down the line. I mean, you got to think, we're 10 years into the MCU at this point. Downey is pushing it. Like, Downey is pushing that age to where you're like, all right, man, you don't see him doing this much longer. And I don't, how old is Downey now? What's Downey, like 55?
I think he's got it. I think he's 55. Hold on.
He's somewhere in that realm. So you're talking about, he started this around the same age Affleck did, but he at least had the luxury of a mechanized suit. So it's a little more believable with him.
Yeah, he's
62. So he started this at 52. So, and he's already stated that he doesn't want to do the heavy lifting anymore of Iron Man. So you're either going to have to do Dick Grayson a huge disservice and make him Batman going forward, or you're going to have to de-age Bruce Wayne somehow. And I personally don't know how you're going to get away with that without either pulling off some on-screen magic, such as the Flash running back in time to get him because he dies and they need one, but I don't know. But the Bat family is too big of a piece for Bruce Wayne not to be involved, because Bruce Wayne is kind of what makes everyone in the Bat family tick. He's what makes the Justice League tick. You have to have, right. It's not just about Batman, yeah. It's about Bruce Wayne and his paranoia and his drive and his ingenuity and all of the things that makes the entities that he's involved in work. You have to have Bruce Wayne there. You can't just insert Dick Grayson and say, oh, okay, here's the first Robin, he's gonna do this, because Dick Grayson doesn't want to be Bruce Wayne. He hates Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
He loves him as a father, but he hates him. You're gonna bring bloodthirsty Damian Wayne in, you're gonna bring Jason Todd back from the dead and have Red Hood do it, you're gonna somehow bring Tim Drake in and convince us that he's the right person to be back. Like, there's too many moving parts for that. So at some point you're gonna have to just say, all right, fuck it, we're gonna have to make the decision to do some kind of crazy retcon. And if anyone can do it, Joss Whedon can do it. He can pull it off. Geoff Johns can do it, which is another thing. I don't know why Geoff Johns, who has revived more DC characters from the dead, like sales-wise, he did it with Green Lantern, he did it with Shazam, he's done it. He did it with Aquaman's first New 52 run, which was one of the best ones when they rebooted the line. Geoff Johns is capable of doing magical shit with his pen. I don't know why he hasn't been more involved in this process.
I think he's kind of like just a figurehead, because when they announced his position, like, there wasn't any real, they didn't say like what his powers would be under this creative position. They just said, okay, he's the creative head of the DCEU, but they didn't really say what he would be doing. So I think they kind of appointed him just to shut people up, but it didn't work because Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad was already too far gone, and those movies were terrible. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen going forward. Okay, yeah, I want to roll this back into Wonder Woman and go back to my notes. This movie laid the blueprint for what they could do in the future movies. And what I wrote down was the choreography of the action scenes. Like, that was, like, that was amazing, because you could tell they did some research for like the Amazon fight scenes, like, and how I also wrote like emotional investment, and that's what Batman versus Superman was lacking. There's an honest trailer where they link it towards Civil War and say it's pretty much the same movie, but my counter argument to that is Civil War, like, they earned the opportunity to allow that to happen. You know, that happened over the span of 3 movies, and Batman versus Superman squeezed everything into one movie and tried to make us care. Like, dude, tell me what Superman motivation was in that movie. We still don't know. Like, why did he end up hating Batman? Okay, it's not clear.
I'll take it one step further. Batman is prepared. He's made a hallmark for preparing for everything on this planet. So do you really think a Batman who's been active for 20 years is going to have an alien broadcast hit this planet and not be somewhere in the vicinity researching that shit? You think he's going to be running through the street in penny loafers in a fucking suit to try to save his people? You don't think he's going to have the fucking bat plane outside loading motherfuckers onto that shit? You're not convincing me that Bruce Wayne was unprepared when Zod made a fucking broadcast days before saying what the fuck he was going to do. So all of that shit, to me, their whole entire conflict was forced and rushed. And you're right, it shouldn't have been done. And I would also sit and say the genius in Civil War was you flipped sympathetic profiles. Nobody who's ever read the Civil War comic watched any of the MCU movies and went into Civil War thinking that Tony Stark was going to be the sympathetic figure.
All right.
I had zero idea when Tony says he killed my mom. Like, you felt for him. Like, you felt for him in that moment. Like, regardless of, and you came out of that movie, if you have any sense, really thinking, man, Steve Rogers is a selfish dick, man.
Yeah, because we all went into that movie being like, okay, maybe we're Team Cap, you know, but
yeah, small government, you know, no yeah. oversight. I was rooting for fucking government oversight and shit.
It really was ingenious though, because it was, there was no absolute right on either side. But yeah, going back to Batman versus Superman though, it's just, even now I still think it just, the whole, that whole conflict just still seems nonsensical to me. You can't get into it.
Yeah. You, because it was forced. Like, it was completely and utterly forced. And again, you know, I say this with all due respect to Zack Snyder on what he's dealing with. He was allowed to roam free for entirely too long. And I'll take it one step further. They didn't set it up correctly with Man of Steel. And I can't prove any of this, but DC fucked up the minute they allowed Christopher Nolan to step in and help with that film.
I disagree. I got to disagree.
Hold on. Okay. Here's my reasoning. Here's my reasoning. He was anti-shared universe. His influence is not going to make for a good shared universe. So if you knew going in with the Wayne Enterprises satellite, you knew going in you wanted to have Batman somewhere in this world. You should have kept Christopher Nolan in. Even if you had him come in and tweak a few things script-wise, his name should have never been attached to this film, because now you're setting up false expectations. That was one of the worst things they could have done, was to make it known publicly that he helped with this film, because he's anti-shared universe and his name is going to evoke emotions of a film and set up bad expectations for it.
I still got to disagree with that, because like I said, emotional investment, like Chris Nolan, that's what Chris Nolan does well. Like, he could sell like the big spectacle. He can make you care. And Man of Steel, I think, was a great foundation for this universe. Now it pivoted into a totally different direction, but Man of Steel kind of like, I guess, kind of like on Wonder Woman was a true origin story, and you cared about these characters. Like, I didn't care about the inclusion of Batman, really, although I really like Batfleck. I really didn't, his inclusion there, I'm like, why is he here? It didn't even make sense.
See, I understand that part, but I still can sit and say that throughout his trilogy of Batman films, there's not a lot of characters I really gave a shit about in his films outside of the Joker. Like, oh, yeah. The Joker was by far the most compelling part of that trilogy. So while his standalone movies, he gets you emotionally invested, he gets you in, he draws you in, I think it's a little bit different when he's trying to adapt things that someone else has written, and he starts going fanfic and applying his motivations and shit to that. And I don't know that he's such a great writer, equivalent to Jay-Z trying to write an R&B song. Like, you know, Jay-Z can rap. He can rap his ass off. Anyone will take a rap verse from Hov. R&B verse written by Jay-Z. So just because your pen is great in one medium and what you do, I don't know that that applies it as well to someone else's medium. But even still, if you're gonna bring him in, don't make it known publicly that you're bringing him in, because it, I think that sent the expectations even higher for this film when it's like, oh shit, Christopher Nolan's involved.
But I think you're being short-sighted on this one, because think about a few years before we had Superman Return, and I don't know if you remember, but there wasn't a lot of excitement about Man of Steel, so they kind of had to, you know, say, okay, he's not directing or even like, I think he helped with the story, but he doesn't have a writer's credit, if I'm not mistaken. They're like, okay, he's doing a little bit.
I think he's got like an executive producer credit or something.
Executive producer credit. They're like, okay, he's assisting with this, but he's not directly involved. And I think they kind of needed that. And I think why I loved Wonder Woman so much is in that short span of time, we really got to see her evolve into a superhero. It was more than just simply putting the suit on.
One of my favorite things about Wonder Woman 2 is that how much they invested. Like, I was, from the trailer, I was, yeah, okay, it's going to be a badass superhero film. But they added a lot of character development with her, and they added a lot of emotion into it. Like, she was like really smart, but she was also really naive, and I really like that they added that she kind of had to learn and grow around her environment, and she's like, oh shit, maybe mankind does kind of suck. And yeah, I just really, that was one of my favorite things about the film, and I really wasn't expecting it at all. Like, I know from watching Batman versus Superman that like she had gotten spurned somehow by mankind, but I didn't really, it wasn't in the forefront of my mind going into the film.
That's kind of like Ron's recent realization that humanity is as stupid as I've been telling him for the
last time. We could really use Wonder Woman right
now. even Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman would probably go back to the Amazon and apologize to her mother.
Like, time for real. You right, Mom?
Yeah, Wonder Woman was like
just like Trump, I'm done.
It's like, you guys suck, so I have to say. Yeah, and as far as like emotional investment, I think it swings back around. So this is why you need diverse writer rooms and diverse people in the chair, because I think Patty Jenkins hit on a lot of notes that a man simply couldn't like bring out. Like, for instance, it wasn't really a love scene, but when Steve Trevor went into the room with Diana, and just the look on their faces, like, you felt something. You was like, oh, this isn't some cheesy forced like romance. Like, it's more like
I get what you're saying. It wasn't like this forced romance between the stoic Stephen Strange and I forget who played you know, his girlfriend. But yeah, you didn't really feel like any emotional connection between those two. It was kind of like, oh, she's dating this narcissistic a-hole who doesn't really connect with anything but his work. What does she really see in him?
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of these superhero movies have been missing. Like, it's one thing to entertain me, but you also got to make me care, you know? Like, it's cool to escape for like two hours and a half and just see a superhero movie, but and I think that's why we love Logan so much, is because that emotional attachment to that. Like, we feel something. It feels real. And with this Wonder Woman story, like this woman really hopped into the Western Front in World War II, and it's ridiculous, but we buy it because we see her transition, and we see her want to save this world, so we can relate to that. You know, it seems
rude. Humanizes a superhero, so it makes them relatable. Like, like, that's one thing that's so beautiful about Wonder Woman, is that she's very relatable. Even though she's like this, she's a literal god, she's been made relatable through empathy.
Yes, and it's not like Superman, like this messiah figure almost, like that we don't understand, because I mean, she, true enough, she's naive and she's from a different world, but she wants to know about this world. She's not trying to hide in this world like Clark Kent is. She wants to know about this world. She wants to help, you know, save this world. Like I said, when I saw like a lot of things in there, like, it's something we haven't seen in a superhero movie, and something that we needed to see, because like I said, superhero motivations are kind of played out now. Like, it's like, okay, Batman, I must kill Batman, but
I'm like, I must do this because it is my duty, but no, there's no like deeper reason for it,
right? And when she set out in this movie, she didn't even like, okay, we knew she was setting out for Ares, but she didn't even know who she was going to face, really. She just hopped on the boat and was like, okay, I must end this war. Like, she didn't know who was fighting the war, she just knew men were fighting the war, and she was like, okay, I must save this world.
And she didn't even know it was her own destiny to defeat Ares, right? Which I loved that plot point.
Yeah, like when that happened, like the last 20 minutes of the movie was so lit, because like that entire Ares fight, this isn't a spoiler, but like, you know, she fights.
Oh yeah, we've been spoilering this whole thing though.
Yeah, we have, but.
If you haven't seen it yet and you're listening to this, you deserve to have the movie spoiled.
Exactly. But yeah, when she just totally goes like batshit and fights Ares, like you could feel that anger, because she's such okay, she's been kicking ass all movie, but she's still like such a mild mannered person, like, still polite and, you know, educated. So when she gets angry, you know it's real. And like I said, she's such a unique character that it's kind of, you kind of have to ask why we haven't seen this before. But like I said earlier, it came right when we need Wonder Woman, like right now.
I agree. I think it came at the very right time. And a lot of people really needed this film.
I agree. And to me, I think, and this is one of the overarching points that I kind of wanted to make about this. Number one, Hollywood no longer has any excuses.
No excuses.
Creating women superhero movies. But on the other hand, for those of us who are not white heterosexual males, which is the vast majority of the main character in superhero films, if we want to see more of these made, we have to support those characters in their other forms. Because it's hard to scream out, why can't I get a insert non-heterosexual white male character here, when that character, when every time they try to give one of those characters a title, the sales don't support it. So even though that's a false equivalency, because more people will go out and buy a movie because a movie ticket is $11. Whereas if I want to keep up with this character's comic book series, I'm going to have to probably shell out close to $50 a year to keep up with that. It's a little bit different because a movie is an experience. A comic book is a piece of property, but you got to keep on buying it. You got to keep on going out and buying those things. So it's a false equivalency, but Hollywood is only as progressive as is profitable. So if we want to see these films made, when they announce non-heterosexual white male superhero comic book series, go out and buy it. Or go on Comixology and subscribe. You can do it on, like, Comixology now has Marvel. It's basically like Netflix for comics. You can pay a flat rate. You can read all of these things. So at least then you're still contributing somewhat. Go out to Free Comic Book Day. Introduce your kids to these things. Because this is the kind of things that 10 years from now, they might green light a movie off of this. Because this run by this artist with this character had enough potential to make it. I mean, Marvel is making movies about heroes that we never thought we'd see. Yeah. I never thought I'd get a fucking Ant-Man movie.
I'm going to predict the future here. Williams, Ironheart.
Right.
Put your money behind Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel. Put your money behind Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Because I think in this next phase of Marvel movies, we could see them have movies. I could really see Riri Williams having a movie.
I kind of agree. But here's my thing. There are three films set at the end of phase three, all of them in 2020, with no titles attached to them. It is contingent upon whether or not those are Namor and Fantastic Four character-based movies.
I think they've...
They're there.
I think they've acquired Namor already. It's been kind of hush-hush.
Yeah. The rights went back to Namor. So that, I said that one's a definite. There's been rumors milling around that there is a definitive Doctor Doom reference in Infinity War. I have seen that on comicbook.com, that there is a definitive Doctor Doom reference. They don't know if they're naming Latveria. They don't know if they're naming him. They don't know if it's a metal face sorcerer. They don't know what it is, but they are saying that they are almost positive there's a Doctor Doom reference in Infinity War. So what I'm willing to bet is that they have gotten something back from regarding the Fantastic Four. I don't know that they're going to put a Fantastic Four movie out, but you can see a Silver Surfer movie. You can see a litany of things done with those last three slots. So while I agree a Ms. Marvel movie would be dope, I don't know that we'll get a Riri Williams film this soon. I don't know that we'll get a Moon Girl film this soon, but something is happening with those three slots. I know sometimes Marvel will stick their hands on dates, but they did this in like 2015. They put three films in 2020 because, contrary to what you might think, the sequel to Infinity War is not the end of phase three. Those last three movies in 2020 are the end of phase three. So we still got three more years left or two more years left of phase three at this point. So something's going on with those films, and I'm not going to be shocked to see what it is. So contingent upon what those are, I don't know that we really get them just yet.
All right, so let's hop back across to like DC. What do you want to see with like the future of DC Universe? I guess, Courtney, you want to go first?
I know that they're probably about to greenlight Wonder Woman 2. I know that Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot have already agreed if it happens. I kind of would like to, I don't know, I really would like to see, I don't know what I'd like to see it from Wonder Woman, if I'm being honest. I just really am focusing on Justice League at this point, and I really want them to do a good job with Justice League, because, you know, I was more into DC growing up. And I really am excited. I'm just optimistic about this, like, I just want them to do a good job at it, especially with Cyborg and Aquaman. I'm nervous about it. I feel the same way I did about Wonder Woman going into it. I'm very anxious about it, just because of their history.
Yeah, I'm, as far as DC goes, I actually want DC to take a step back and slow it down. I want them to get less ambitious with their... I want them to take a step back, evaluate what Wonder Woman just did for your core fan base, and I want you to realize that you are not Marvel. Because the one thing about Marvel is I'm like Courtney. I'm a DC fan everywhere except the movie. DC on TV is phenomenal. DC's animated universe is phenomenal. DC's cartoons are phenomenal. DC's movies... And to give people a hint of what I mean here, Marvel's more character-driven, DC story-driven. When the MCU was launched, Marvel didn't have their three biggest properties at the time. X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Spider-Man were by far Marvel's three biggest properties going into Iron Man releasing. If the DC sold off their three biggest properties, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and all related characters, they could not make a film. One single solitary film would be able to be made with the remaining cabal of characters. You saw how shitty Green Lantern was. I don't know that Flash can carry a movie by himself. I don't know that Aquaman is capable of carrying a movie by himself previous to this Justice League being released. I think this would do a lot to increase Aquaman's profile, because Aquaman is one of the most badass characters. It's just that Super Friends kind of ruined perception of him. He didn't have a Batman the Animated Series moment to erase what a show in the 60s did to him, because Batman had that same perception for a while too. So for DC, I want them to get less ambitious. I want them to spread their movie releases out more. I want them to realize that develop the Bat family, number one. Decide what you're going to do with Batman and flesh out his remaining characters. If you're doing a Nightwing movie, give it to us. Give us Tim Drake. Give us Batman Incorporated. Give us Damian Wayne. Bring Red Hood back. Give us a Teen Titans kind of tie-in, even though you're doing the Titans show on DC's new streaming channel. Give us a Teen Titans tie-in. Bring in a character like Calder from Young Justice into the movie universe, because he's a completely badass character. Give us a Teen Titans movie.
I would love to see something like that.
Yeah, there's already talk that Black Manta is going to be a villain in the Aquaman film. Well, Calder is Black Manta's son. It's a perfect segue into bringing him in. You've got the pieces there. Use them wisely. Don't go rushing. I don't know that we need. I love Cyborg. I don't know if we need a Cyborg film.
We don't.
I think the best chance out of all of them would maybe be Flash, because Flash is a lot more popular. If you take out Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman out of the ones remaining, it's Flash.
Right. And to me, the one I think is going to have the best chance, and it's only because Momoa is playing him, is I think this Aquaman that they are putting on screen is going to do a lot to increase Aquaman's profile. They're going to show, and Geoff Johns wrote the new 52 Aquaman title, which was very highly reviewed. So I think that Aquaman is probably going to be the best one outside of your Trinity, simply because Aquaman is strong as shit. He's ruggedly bad at. Aquaman once picked up a polar bear and threw it at somebody. in the comic books.
I love that they got Jason Momoa, because if you just look at him, you're like, I would believe that he threw a bear at somebody.
Exactly. If they can incorporate that into a fucking movie, I would love it. It's probably not going to happen.
I'm hoping that he could be as perfect for Aquaman as Gal Gadot was for Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
I already know his acting from the Game of Thrones, and I'm good on that part. And he just looks the part of Aquaman, that badass. I just don't want to mess with him.
Exactly. So I think his movie's probably going to be the best thing. From there, like I said, you figure out what you're going to do with Batman and the Bat family. But Damian Wayne is a dynamite character, and nothing would calm Batfleck down more than a rambunctious 10-year-old that can kill damn near anyone. Everything Damian Wayne touches is a weapon. So if you bring him in, you've got no choice but to calm Batman down, because you can't have a 10-year-old out here running wild, killing people with baseballs and shit. Like, he walks around with a fucking katana on. Like, nothing would force Batman to calm down more.
I said Damian Wayne is my favorite Robin, by the way.
Mine, I actually will agree. Even though Dick Grayson Nightwing is my favorite superhero, I would actually agree that Damian is probably better equipped as Robin, because essentially what Dick Grayson was the prodigal son slash the he almost has middle child syndrome. Nightwing is the important link between the bird-related characters, all the sidekicks, and Batman. He's kind of the big brother who takes the brunt of dad's abuse while the siblings kind of get away scot-free. So I'll agree that his role has grown to the point that, I mean, he hasn't been Robin since, what, the 70s in the comic book?
Yeah.
So you've had Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Damian Wayne since then. I think Damian Wayne is what the DC extended universe needs now more than anything. If you're going to continue this route you're on, you need to establish Damian Wayne, because you bring in Ra's, you bring in the League of Assassins, which in itself is a whole other storyline, even though Arrow's already kind of exploited that shit. You bring that in. And secondly, I would actually love to see if they could somehow pull off bringing Stephen Amell into the DC Extended Universe as an accurate portrayal of Green Arrow. Not the Batman Green Arrow, but the actual freewheeling social justice warrior, full-on beard Green Arrow. I'd love to see that.
He said he's had some talks about that. Like, he said him and Jeff Johns have had some good, and this is a quote, some good talks about what's going to happen to Green Arrow in the movie. Because I think Green Arrow, the TV show, is going to phase out. But let's face it, Steve Amell is a star in, like, waiting. Like, he hasn't, like, the Arrow, the show, it's cool, but he's a star. He can be a star. So I think they need to exploit and
he use has, what they he, have. Yeah, he has name recognition. I mean, I jokingly say this all the time, but I'm so dead serious when I say Arrow is stagnant because it is a Batman ripoff. And there's only so many subtle Batman storylines you can rip off without people going, all right, now wait just one fucking second.
Right.
You're doing Batman at this point. So if you could bring in, for people who don't know, Green Arrow was established as kind of a Batman-esque character that was the opposite of Hal Jordan, who was authoritarianism, very much a law and order type person. Green Arrow is a social justice warrior. So to have Stephen Amell come in and play this lighter, lighthearted character who is more so anti-establishment and doesn't want to be really a part of the Justice League because they might be too big or isn't necessarily out there busting criminals up. He fights for the little guy more than anything. So if you can kind of bring him in with that, I think that would go a long way towards establishing some heroes outside of your Holy Trinity. But my biggest thing for DC would just be slow it down, establish the Bat family, and give us a good Damian Wayne. If you could do with Damian Wayne what Fox just did with X-23, you have a star for the next 10 years.
True.
Absolutely, 100% agree, yeah.
And I have another segue based on what you said about Hal Jordan. Everybody knows I'm a bit of a Marvel fanboy, but I want these DC movies to win because, like AJ said, they're story driven, and DC has a lot of story to tell. And I think I think with the secondary characters, what they need to establish, and they're talking about this, the Green Arrow Corps. Green Lantern Corps. You know what I mean? And how they can knock this out the park. Army Hammer is Hal Jordan. Trevante Rhodes is Jon Stewart.
Agreed.
If you do that, you have a movie.
You have a great
movie right there.
You have a great. My only thing would be this with that film. You're going to have to tweak their personalities a little bit, because Hal Jordan is no nonsense Law and Order, and Jon Stewart is a Marine. So if you're going to do that, you might be better off introducing Kyle Rainey as opposed to Hal Jordan.
Oh, no, Kyle Rainey is going to be in there too.
Well, I'm saying is those two being a star as opposed to, like, have Jordan there. But I don't know if you're going to do a buddy cop thing, because those two names are just so, they're almost equal to one another. Like, I think it would, or if Kyle Rainey's just kind of the new guy and they're kind of mentoring him.
I think you're looking at like Serious Army Hammer and not like Winklevoss twin Army Hammer. And I think if they bring that guy in, then and you make Gervonta
Serious. I'm thinking about more of the characterization of Stewart and Jordan as opposed to the actors.
That's what I'm saying. I think if you bring in Gervonta and keep him like almost canon to John Stewart and have him like really serious, but kind of make Hal Jordan a dick. Make him a little bit of a dickhead and put those two guys together. I think that's a good movie because they contrast each other. They're both two rising stars, and that would make one hell of a movie.
I can see that. A little known fact, Armie Hammer was almost Batman.
Yep.
For the Justice League Mortal film. Justice League Mortal, which I think this would have been a great out the gate thing for the DCEU if they had tried this first. Justice League Mortal was a story of how Batman had contingency plans in place to take down every single member of the Justice League. They got stolen by Ra's al Ghul, and so the Justice League had to fight themselves. And it starred Armie Hammer as Batman, DJ Catrona, who's best known as playing the guy that wasn't The Rock in the second G.I. Joe film.
I don't know.
Adrian Palacki, I think, was she Wonder Woman? No, she wasn't Wonder Woman. Common was actually Green Lantern.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the dude from the OC was fucking Flash. That's all I can remember off the top of my head. But I think that actually would have been a good movie.
I don't know.
I think the storyline would have been great. I know you have your feelings about Common as Green Lantern.
dude, Tyrese really may end up being Green Lantern.
If Tyrese is Green Lantern, I will not support another thing. If the first time John Stewart calls somebody, the first time John Stewart says bruh or cuz, I'm walking out of the fucking movie theater. I cannot have Tyrese in a fucking do-rag flying through space calling aliens cuz. That I am not with that shit. Hey, cuz, can you just... Nah, man. No. Like, I know people have their feelings about this. Initially, I thought the best fit would have been Idris, but I actually think Tremonte Rhodes is perfect. If you don't go get him right now, you are slipping because the price is only going to go up on that young man.
So you got to get him before the price goes up because He's about to be in a Predator movie with opposite of, damn, who else is in that movie? But anyway, it's a new Predator movie.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, after that movie comes out, the price is going up on this guy. Like, so you better go get him.
The price of the chickens is doubling. Like, you go get that. Because, I mean, he really is stylistically a... I can't think of anyone else right now who could play Jon Stewart convincingly. His presence, he has that serious face already, so it's not even really acting. I don't know any role outside of maybe Idris, and I think he's already kind of stated he's not with it. I think he was turned off by the Thor franchise, so I don't know who the hell else you're getting to play.
And not to mention he's a trash actor anyway, so let's not talk about that.
And you still hate him for being what's his face on The Wire.
I totally went Make America Great Again when I saw the Gunslinger trailer. I was like, I want Gunslinger to be white. I do not want Idris.
Hey man, if you don't, I think he's gonna do a good ass job.
No, man. Like, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Dark Tower,
which I'm still gonna be in there with bells on because that movie looks fucking phenomenal.
Which is one of Stephen King's greatest series that turned into a graphic novel. But anyway, it's so dope, and
you're gonna be in there first day.
No, so I'm
not. I don't. Yes, the fuck you are.
No, I'm not, man.
Stringer Bell. He graduated from selling dope to being a fucking gunslinger. I don't want to hear it. You gonna be in there watching that film? If I gotta drive to fucking Tuscaloosa and make you go watch that shit, you are going to watch that film. Dude, you're not gonna sit up here. He ain't been Stringer Bell in 15 years, Ron.
He's not a good actor, man, because people were talking about a James Bond thing, and they were talking about, oh, he can't be James Bond because he sucks as an actor. Nobody wants to see him as James Bond. Stop trying to fan fans.
See, God made you go underwater right now because you're not going to keep on slandering this man. He would have been great as Jon Stewart. I will... I thought I just had a wild card for John. I got one person who could probably give us a great John Stewart.
Who?
For one film and one film only.
Who?
And hear me out on this one.
No.
He's already out because he's been in a DC film already. Give me Will Smith. Actually, you know what? Let me walk that back. Give me Denzel as John Stewart for one movie.
Dude, Denzel is like 250 pounds now, and he's like 68.
I said for one movie, one film. Give me Denzel.
Movie in him. Like,
could you imagine the epic monologue that Denzel would give as John Stewart?
My man.
You picture him with a toothpick looking at Killer Wall going, my nigga.
No, AJ, no.
I'm fucking around, but seriously, Trevante needs to be that guy.
Robert Downey Jr.'s character in Tropic Thunder.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Please no. Please no. No.
But we could go ahead and throw in closing remarks. And Courtney, I guess you could speak a little bit on the Wonder Woman movie.
I think this is an incredible film. Please, I think everyone should go see it as soon as possible. Take your kids to see it. Take all of your friends to see it. Really is incredible. Outside of even just being a superhero movie, it's just a great film. I'm probably going to stay the second time, honestly, after I get paid again. It's just really, really good. Definitely went way past my expectations. I'm happy with it.
All right, AJ?
I echo everything that Courtney said. If someone from DC happens to listen to this, slow the fuck down.
I agree.
And I got one fan casting that I want to make because I just thought about this. If you guys do bring in Cowder, you need to get RJ Seiler to play him.
Okay, I could buy that.
Or Static Shock. But after what I saw from him as the Blue Power Ranger, RJ Seiler needs to be in a big budget superhero film sooner rather than later because the price on that young man is going up very soon.
I agree.
He's a phenomenal actor.
Oh, he is. Best part of the Power Rangers film.
Easily the best part of the Power Rangers film.
Easily. Like, added so much substance to it.
And he sounds like Ron.
I don't... So, as I was watching the Wonder Woman movie, it got to the last 10 minutes of the movie after the Ares fight, and all of a sudden in the theater the lights went out. I was like, oh shit, I'm about to die because the lights went out. Somebody's about to come in here and shoot us. So, being the black man that I am, I hopped out of my seat and I ran out. But if the door opens, I hear someone say, no, go back in. And being the black man that I am, I turn around and try to run out the other exit. Then I look over my shoulder and I see it's the manager, and she said, no, slow down, sir. We're about to restart the movie. The power went out. So I had to sit there and see them actually rewind the tape so we could watch the movie from that point. And I've never been more scared in my life. It almost ruined the movie for me, but I still got to see the end of the movie, and I love how it ended. And I don't think I mentioned this. I kind of like the way that they wedged this within Batman versus Superman, and where Bruce sent her the picture and was like, tell me your story.
That's
the point of this. That's the point of that whole spiel. But anyway, thanks for checking us out. And we'll probably type up a review to go with this because, like I said, the sound quality was pretty shitty, and this usually doesn't happen, so I don't know what was going on. But thanks for checking it out.
And blame Ryan because he's assumed all the duties as editor, so.
Yeah, blame Ryan. He's Ryan, the sound guy, so blame Ryan.
If it sounds bad, at Eagle Eye 1906 with all of your... As a matter of fact, just at him with anything that you think wrong with the site, period. Right.
Yeah, we out. Energetic, relevant, and a freak. Weak rappers shrug they shit on stage, but they can't get like me. E stands for ego killer with a deflator, 808 minimal heat. Girl, I beg forgiveness, a hunt for favors. The saddest MC in 100 acres. Had bad day trends where I punched the neighbors. Gum potatoes, run for waivers. Old as fuck like the Undertaker. I'm Bo Dallas, I'm so callous. Shirt so tight like Bo Clampett. Interns watch me fold pamphlets. It's training day, it's training day. Got a Baroness, I need a Lady J. I write your reviews in a rape buffets. I hate Yelp too when I'm trying to say it's a hat hella birthright that assigned away. My term's long, condition state. Top 10 trapeze, gotta mention pink. Next half bars, a kitchen sinker. Call my website dog with missing links. Make the stiffest drinks and the best of mints. To my one homegirl with the rest of friends. And apologize for like 15 years. Actual rap name is MC Weird. I bet PMC freak Britney Spears. I ghostwrite Sunday gossip columns. Free clinics hand out rotten condoms. Inuit folks make the top toboggans, cause it's all handmade from top to bottom. Hit you with a frying pan like not the mama. Not the mama. Not the mama, not the mama, not the mama, not the mama, yeah. Walk down street, not yet have I seen mankind rock a beat like me. Stomp my feet down cross, you can't match energy. Energetic relic and a freak, weak rappers shut they shit on things, but they can't get like me. E stands for ego, killer with a D, play the 808 mineral heater.